Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I am Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, as usual. And it is awesome to be here. I am really excited. We are kicking off the weekend with the Mac Show. And it's just always an awesome feeling because I get to hang out with cool people, both here on the panel and everyone that's hanging out in the live chat. It's just loads of fun. So let's just hop right in. And Patrice, how are you today?
I'm all right. I don't know what it is. Might just be the weather or something. I'm just super tired. Or the week, or probably all of the above. No, it's been good. It's been a shorter week because Monday was a public holiday. Mm-hmm. But then we had, I'm going on a business trip next week, so there was some stuff that I had to take care of this week. And then on top of all of that, we had our quarterly planning meeting, which, like, if you're responsible, directly responsible for two teams and the third one, you're like at least the VP for it, it's a lot of work. So I didn't sleep very well this week. Let's put it this way. But I'm happy I'm here. I made it to Friday. I'm still alive. And I'm always looking forward to talking to you.
I look forward to it also. It seriously, doing this show is one of the high points of my week. Mm-hmm. In the chat room, Muller's asking if that's a squirrel behind me. And if there's a squirrel in here, this show's about to get ugly.
Or very funny.
It could be.
It might be like one of those. Is that like a Monty Python thing where they just run around and like this funny music
Benny Hill.
Playing? Benny Hill. That was,
yeah, okay, with Yakety Sax playing in the background.
Yeah. It mm-hmm. could be that. Okay, Benny Hill, not Monty Python. I have to remember that.
But I mean, I could see a Monty Python thing working in a similar fashion, but yeah, uh-huh. Totally Benny Hill. Yeah.
See, okay, so that could also be very, very funny if you did that.
It could be very funny for everyone except me. But, you know, humor at my expense, if it works, it works. Yeah. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's been a long week for me as well. Busy, lots of stuff going on, but par for the course here. But coming off of recording the 200th episode of In Touch with iOS. So I'm going to put that out today. So that was kind of fun.
Awesome. And congratulations.
Thanks. Hey. And I also got very glad to be here.
Awesome. What does your t-shirt say? Don't get caught. Okay. What are you planning?
The Mac Geek Gab.
Okay.
Yep.
The most, like, what are you planning? Advice. You don't want to get caught.
Well, now, Patrice,
I'd get up, but the logo's on my back. So.
Patrice, if Dave were to tell you what he was planning, the likelihood he would get caught goes up exponentially. Yeah. Right. Therefore, he can't tell you what he's planning because,
especially since, caught. Yeah, I mean, like, nobody is listening to this right now, right? So nobody would know. That's not how it works.
Yeah. So you know, as long as we're talking about Dave's shirt,
that's why I put it on too.
Yeah, I'll just let everyone know the reason we started the show late today was because Dave Hamilton and John Braun invited me to come on to Mac Geek Gab, and it's like a solid two-hour window of time, and they're doing it live, so I had to kind of roll with that. And for all the time that I've known Dave and John, I've never actually been a guest on Mac Geek Gab. So when they asked me, I really, really couldn't say no. And so so I'm glad that everyone here was flexible enough and could just roll with it so we could start the Mac Show later today so that I could be on Mac Geek Gab. And Muller, your comment in the chat room, just so you know, there have been several people that have said over the years they're going to get a t-shirt made for me with that on it. And so far, no one has come through. Just saying.
New design for, what was the place called? QWERTY? QWERTY? The t-shirt QWERTY. Place?
QWERTY. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so until we actually have that shirt, yeah, it will just be a dream. So yeah, we might as well hop in and start talking about some stuff as long as we are here.
Yeah, and, I mean, we got those like cameras and microphone thingies and the live stream. Yeah. Might as well talk about something, right?
Sure. Yeah, as long as we're here, whatevs. Yeah. And I'm feeling like we need to start with some. Am I pronouncing this correctly, Patrice? Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I love when I say something right. So it turns out that Russian soldiers in the Ukraine, as they've been looting and stealing and just being general dicks about invading the Ukraine and starting a war, well, one of these soldiers stole AirPods from someone, and mm-hmm. the person that that owns the AirPods turned on Find My. And so they've been able to track, basically in real time, Russian troop movements because of the guy that stole his AirPods.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
go ahead, Patrice.
I don't know. There have been enough cases like this with like military members using whatever, like fitness tracking apps, and then you're being able to see like their routes and stuff. Mm-hmm. That I would have assumed this doesn't happen anymore, but well, yeah. People want to steal stuff are probably not the smartest, right?
Probably not.
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
And
just assuming based on this.
Yeah. Yeah. So in this case, the victim, the guy who had his AirPods stolen, he's been posting online where the AirPods are. So you can just follow like on his Twitter or Instagram account. I can't remember which one it is. And you can follow Russian troop movements because they still have his AirPods.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of, we need AirTags for that.
Right.
Just put AirTags everywhere and then just see where stuff lands.
And now that you say that, how can people have not been going around taping AirTags to mm-hmm. Russian vehicles in the Ukraine?
Yeah, with all the stories out there, you would assume that's what would happen, but nope.
Right. But still, the fact that you can use AirPods to do this, the whole thing in the Ukraine, just the whole war, this is a horrible, horrible situation. This is something that should not be happening. And to find something like this, where we can take a little bit of joy out of this horrible situation, it's nice. I'm just finding it incredibly funny.
Mm-hmm. That, I mean, there's. I mean, as sad as the whole situation is, there's more that's really funny. It's like the Ukrainian hackers that are hacking like a lot of Russian like websites and stuff, and they're mm-hmm. really good. Like they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been hilarious sometimes.
Yep. Towing away Russian vehicles with tractors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I did see a video of. It was like an armored troop carrier, maybe, being pulled away by a tractor. And there's a Russian soldier running after that. And someone did put the Yakety Sax song with that. And it is just perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, it's as sad as it is, like the whole situation, there is some fun to be had with that, and I mean, I know a lot of Ukrainians and they are a fun people out there,
mm-hmm.
really nice people, so
mm-hmm.
it fits.
What I found interesting is, you know, the AirPods, you know, a lot of times they're hard to track because sometimes mm-hmm. you know, even my AirPods, I mean, it says I left it behind and I'm driving. Yeah. It happened to me last week. I was driving yeah. home from our lake house and I was freaking out because I can't leave my AirPods because yeah. I kept getting it on my watch that I've driven away from it. So I say, I gotta pull over and check. I gotta make sure I got them. And sure enough, sitting in my backpack and in my trunk. I mean,
I had that on a hike on Monday. Like, we were going on a hike, and like after, I want to say like 15, 20 minutes, it was like, oh, you left your AirPods behind back where the train station was. And I'm like, that can't be, because I took them out like before. So I just checked like in my bag. It was like, they're just there. Like, I don't know.
Yep.
Because I just don't know how accurate AirPods are with my Find My. They're okay, but not anywhere as accurate as an iPhone or an iPad. But
they seem to be accurate enough, apparently.
Apparently. I pulled up this guy's Instagram page. He hasn't posted in a while. He's showing a picture of the map where it was.
Yeah. Bob Beach is saying the Find My told him that he had left his AirPods 3,000 miles away in New York.
Yeah.
And he freaked out, and then they were in his pocket.
Exactly.
So yeah. Maybe he did leave them behind. And there's a feature in AirPods Apple hasn't been talking about yet, where they immediately transport to your current location.
Well, that's one option. The other option is those aren't really his AirPods anymore.
That's an option too. Yeah. Muller's saying he had a warning that his AirPods were left behind. But they're on his keys that were with him. Mm-hmm. Last night I was out for a walk once the temperature dropped down, and I put my AirPods in my ears, closed the case, put the case in my pocket, and then got the alert that I had left my AirPods behind. And I, in fact, had not. So I get that with, I get that with my AirTags occasionally too.
I haven't had that.
Now that I think about it, maybe it was the AirPods and they were in the bag that the AirTag was in.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably it.
That could be. Yeah, it's sometimes really interesting.
So
I mean, I would rather get a warning to too many than not enough in this case.
Yeah.
But, mm-hmm.
Like, if I really left them behind, like, it doesn't hurt me when I'm checking. So might as well do that. They're easy to lose. I've lost a pair. But I mean, there was a story recently somewhere, and it's probably again on your show, Jeff, because we talked about it yesterday. I'm like, it's somewhere on the show. It was like, yeah, where someone mentioned that they had gotten a pair of AirPods replaced by Apple. And they left, and the AirPods were telling, like, the Find My was still telling them that they're still back in the store. And it turned out that was because Apple had just replaced the AirPods. So the tracking was still on the old pair.
Yes, that's a real problem. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Muller's saying that he set safe areas for his AirTags. Mm. I have done that too. So my AirTags, if they stay in my place, I don't get alerts.
Yes.
But
I don't do that in hotels, because, like, you know, when you're like, you're leaving your luggage in your hotel, you get a notification. I never do it there, because I'm like, I know that I'm going to leave whatever next couple of days. So I don't mind getting a notification that I know doesn't matter right now, but then not forgetting it when I actually leave.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. All right, that was just kind of the warm, fuzzy feeling story.
Mm.
Yeah. So next story is, and this is one that actually I found this morning, Dave.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Apparently, Android is losing ground to iOS.
Apparently,
yeah.
Is that big of a surprise?
Well, considering how easy it is to buy Android phones and how inexpensive many of them are compared to iPhones,
mm-hmm.
You would think that the gap between Android phone sales and iPhone sales would continue to grow and Android sales would continue to be higher. But it turns out that gap is is shrinking a little bit, and it's not like they're neck and neck because Android's still like at least 3/4 of the market. Yeah. It is not 3/4 of the market anymore. It is now 69.74% of the market.
Yeah, that's still a solid 2/3.
Right. And and iOS, so this is over a like a 4-year stretch. Android dropped from 77.32% of the global market to 69.74, where iOS climbed from 19.4 to 25.49. So a 6% growth over a 4-year window. And this is from a group called Stock Apps that tracks market share through apps.
Yeah, but as I said, is that really all that surprising? Because, I mean, as you said, it is incredibly easy to sell an Android device. And to sell it to people who maybe don't know any better or don't care. But eventually those people, I don't want to say wake up, because I'm not saying Android is bad. Like Android has some like really good things, and I know a lot of people who are very happy with it. But for a lot of people, it's maybe not the right tool. For some, for some people. And I mean, those people eventually, like a lot of kids or like teenagers, like Android is just cheaper. So they get a cheap phone, but eventually they grow up and they want an iPhone. Or they want to switch an iPhone, or they get an iPhone because, I don't know, someone in their family is using one and says, do you want it? And then they switch. I think Bob Beach even mentioned that, was it Bob Beach recently? Someone mentioned, I think last week, that he gave basically his daughter an iPhone. So they switched. And I think that's part of it. And then there is, in general, I think, a desirability of the iPhone globally. That's not with everybody, but I think globally, if you look at it, a lot of people, they can't afford an iPhone, but they want one. And with Apple making it easier and easier to get one for like a, not a cheap price, but a more affordable price, maybe.
Right.
Those people eventually switch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the iPhone SE came into play. I think that phone in itself, I think, has really brought more and more iPhone users to our side, so she used to say, and just because it is more affordable, yeah, it's higher price, $400, but it's not $1,000 like it is with an iPhone 13 Pro, whatever. But that, I think that's what's kind of helping get people into the market. But still, if you're looking for a cheap phone, you're never going to find a $150 iPhone unless you buy a really old used one on the used market. But that's what people are doing. They're buying a new crappy, honestly, Android phone that's $150, and or the carriers are basically giving it away just to give them the service because they don't care, because it's
yeah, just look at how many times phones actually get given away, where it's like, I don't know, buy this this TV package and you get a free whatever, right, like phone. Mm-hmm. Free Android phone.
And that's all the carriers are always trying to do, that because they you know, they make a heck of a lot more money on the service than they are on the phone. I mean that's why I think
even with the iPhone and the more expensive Androids, it's still the case.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, don't get fooled, because they say, oh yeah, free iPhone, but it's 24 monthly credits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bob Beach in the chat room is asking what the iPhone share is in the U.S. iPhone share in the U.S. is much higher than the its overall share worldwide. Yes. So yeah. In the U.S., as of January this year, which is, I think, the most recent data, iPhone or iOS has a little more than 50% market share in the U.S., and Android has a little bit less than 50%, and yes, there is still a very tiny percentage of BlackBerry.
BlackBerry and probably that. Some other phones. Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure like Huawei wouldn't count as Android anymore. because they are running Android, but it's probably still in the mix. Yeah, I mean, and there are good reasons for it. I mean, one is US, like just like big chunks of Europe, like there is more income available, like that you could spend on a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the living standard is higher than other places. The other reason is iPhones are actually much cheaper in the US than there are other places. Like in Europe, you pay quite some premium on top of just the conversion rate.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. And taxes obviously like make a difference. But like even if you remove all of that, it's like I think for my iPhone, it was always like $150-$200 extra, like on top of taxes and conversion and whatever. And I think that's almost universally true in most other countries. There is a premium on phones. On Apple phone, on iPhones or on smartphones in mm-hmm. general. It's just how the markets are. Like it's, I think it's necessarily Apple's fault. Like it's the same for Android. But that makes it less affordable to people, and that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. I'm looking at the chart that's in the 9to5 Mac article
mm-hmm.
About all of this, and it's showing the operating systems, so Android, iOS, and then it also has iOS, Windows Phone, Nokia Series 40, Samsung, and then other unknown, and everything except for Android and iOS, it's basically all the same line at zero.
Who's still using Windows Phone?
There are some people. Right? We know some people even.
Yeah. Can't get much on them.
Do we actually know people that are using Windows
Phone? I think in the BTN on the BTN site there is like one or two people that are still on Windows Phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
In our Slack group.
Okay. Well, that's
I mean, I don't know. They might have changed the last whatever year or so, but
it's
They used to be very close to it.
I wish that Windows Phone had been more successful, because I would have loved to have seen the competition between iOS, Android OS, and Windows Phone.
Mm. Yeah, would have been good, but not how it works.
Yeah, So anyhow, yeah, there you go. So we have Apple growing and eating more into the worldwide market share that Android currently has. There you go. Yep. All right. Then next story, we're just moving right along.
We should always start late so that we get faster through the story.
Right. We're just cranking through.
There is some breaking news that just came through here.
What's the breaking news?
Apple is discontinuing Fleetsmith because of course they've got the small business manager tool.
That just what is even going. Fleetsmith? Oh, it's an MDM.
MDM, yeah.
Okay, I was like, what is even
interesting? All right, so if Apple is shutting down Fleetsmith, I'm presuming, because I'm not looking at any articles, that they
just came from 9to5 Mac.
Okay. So, well, all right. Well, hold on. Let's just grab that 9to5 Mac.
Just thought that'd be interesting.
All right.
Not breaking news, because someone else already broke it, but.
Well, it just came through.
There we go. Okay. So that link is now in the chat room. All right, so what I'm wondering is if Apple has integrated all of Fleetsmith services into Apple Business Essentials, or does this mean that Fleetsmith users are going to be screwed because they're getting rolled in, but they don't have all the features they had before?
Probably a little bit of both.
Okay, I'll accept that.
I would hope that they're trying to move people over. That would be kind of crappy.
Well, I'm sure they're migrating the Fleetsmith customers into Apple Business Essentials.
I would assume so. I remember meeting these guys at MacTech Conference years back. Yeah, they did that. It was a good tool. and good for them that they were able to sell.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So for those of you that don't know what Fleet Smith is, Fleet Smith is a mobile device management platform. And for those of you that don't know what it means is that you, as an administrator of the devices in your company, you have a single interface where you can go and manage settings for your smartphones, your tablets, and your computers. And you can enforce settings like strong passwords, when operating system updates have to be installed. You can control what apps are available to your device users. You can track where those devices are. You can brick them if they get stolen or lost.
You also get, for example, the firewall keys, so that, like, if I don't know, the employee forgets their device somewhere, you can wipe them, or if they forget their password, you can at least access it again. Stuff like mm-hmm. that.
Sorry, don't want to derail you from the HomePod discussion.
No, that's okay.
No, it's a good one.
Yeah, because this is totally worth derailing for. And when have we ever let the rails control what we do?
What rails?
Rails? We don't need rails.
We're a hover show. Like, we're not the train, we're a hover show. Like, we just hover all over the place. Like,
right. Right. Yeah, we go where we want. No one's mm-hmm. the boss of us.
No one's the boss. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Freedom. No.
All right, cool. So there we go. We did some breaking news. Okay. I'm wondering now, and I should probably read the article to see if this is addressed. I'm wondering now if Apple has something that they're going to announce for developers related to Apple Business Manager, Business Essentials, whatever, at WWDC, or if this is just the timing.
They will, because they do it every year. Every year there are changes to MDM. They're not usually flashy, like on the slides, like front page stuff, but I've been to a lot of those sessions because I'm very interested in that. And, mm-hmm. and I usually report back to Jerome about that because he runs a business around that. That's why I said, like, Business Essentials wasn't a surprise, because for the last, I don't know, 10 years probably, mm-hmm. Apple has been slowly but steadily in the background with, like I said, nothing flashy usually, but they've been constantly working on improving those enterprise tools. Like, probably also a result of the cooperation with IBM
mm-hmm.
and other probably companies. Like, IBM is just the poster child. I'm pretty sure they're working with, like, I know Microsoft is working with them because Microsoft has an MDM solution. But so that the tools, the API is on the background, constantly been improving. And I'm pretty sure that Apple is planning on, like, Business Essentials right now is a small business or small to mid-sized business solution. Right. It's like, yeah. I think up to 500 employees.
I thought Fleet Smith was that way as well.
I don't know about that. But I'm pretty sure that eventually Apple will scale that up. Maybe this year even. Maybe they're like, okay, it's ready.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
Another service in their arsenal.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yep. And of course, Patrice had completely forgotten that Apple talks about MDM at WWDC. It's just not in the keynote because
rarely. I mean, every now and then they mention something mm-hmm. like, sometimes that's at IBM they have mentioned, like, here and there,
right?
But it's not one of, because it's an enterprise feature, and they sometimes say, okay, like, we're working on exciting enterprise stuff and so on, but it's usually not something that they talk about that much because it's for a limited group of people, that their press releases and stuff about it. So that the people who need to know will know, but it's not something that, like, you and me even would think about. I mean, it's not true. David and me would probably think about it because of our jobs, but you know what I mean? Like, most people don't have to think about that.
Right. Yep. Yep. All right. Well, let's talk some about HomePods now, you know, as long as we're just kind of jumping around. And the HomePod discussion, the link's already in the chat. Here's the deal. Apparently, the market for the original HomePod is changing in such a way that it's completely screwing up my plans of picking up an original HomePod for super cheap, because they are going up in price on the resale market. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is really frustrating, because I was thinking, hey, you know, now that Apple's discontinued the original HomePod, I'll just wait a little while and I'll pick one up for like $50, and then I'll have a stereo pair instead of just the one. And it turns out that no, you can pick these up for more than their original selling price. And I have actually seen them on Craigslist for at least $500.
Yeah. I mean,
it's varying on eBay too. I'm just checking. Yeah.
It's honestly, I'm not surprised. Like, all those people who have been poo-pooing the HomePod, I never got that. I mean, you can argue about, like, is it better than whatever, a Sonos Play 5, which costs actually more? Is it as good as whatever? Is it what people want? Like, no, probably wasn't. Because clearly people wanted the HomePod Mini. But it wasn't a bad device, and I still love mine. Like, I got three of them. Mm-hmm. Like, one is sitting right next to me. I got two HomePod Minis, and I got three HomePods. And I'm very happy with them. They're mm-hmm. way too big for what I need, like, for this mm-hmm. room even. Like, a Mini is big. I mean, this room is actually pretty spacious, but it's, like, the Mini is more than enough for it. But they're amazing devices, like, from a technology standpoint, from a potential standpoint. It's just... as always with Apple, they haven't done much with it.
Yeah.
So Apple not building them, of course the price is going to go up, because a lot of people like them and a lot of people want a bigger device. And mm-hmm. I'm still not convinced Apple is not eventually going to go back to it. Because they introduced the Mini, but they could have just said, okay, the old HomePod is gone. Here's version 2 and it's smaller.
I think that's a possibility. I also think it's possible that Apple could release a HomePod soundbar, mm-hmm. and that would probably have an Apple TV built in.
Yeah, exactly. That could be an option. There was a rumor about a HomePod. Bob Page actually mentioned that a HomePod with a display. I'm pretty sure they've looked at it. I mean, I don't know if it ever sees the light of day, but I'm pretty sure that they investigated that, if that's a good idea. As I said, I think eventually Apple is going to go bigger with the HomePod again and have the small one for, like, the small rooms, and, like, they're super portable. You can bear. I mean, if you have a decent sized handbag or a Scotty vest or something, you can probably put one of those in your pockets. Mm-hmm. Then they're tiny. They're like tennis ball size, almost a little bit bigger, but like baseball size. Well, so yeah, baseball, I think, is still a little bit smaller.
Yeah, it's between baseball and softball.
Yeah, something like that. So like, they're really great and really portable. But I think for a home TV setup, you need a little bit more. And I think that's, as you said, either a soundbar or maybe a soundbar and actually a home, like something in between the old school HomePod and the Mini. Mm-hmm. I could totally see that.
I could see that happening too. It's still very frustrating for me, because mm-hmm. if all these people that are willing to pay more than the original selling price for a HomePod had bought a HomePod when they could have paid less for it, we might still have this model around.
And I'm honestly not convinced that it didn't sell, because I mean, whenever there was a sale on HomePods, I know so many people bought them. As I said, I think overall it wasn't what most people wanted. Doesn't mean it was a bad product. I think, I don't know why Apple discontinued it, but I don't think it was the number.
I've always assumed it's because they just simply weren't selling enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe this was like their gold Apple Watch, mm-hmm. where that, you know, they released it to show, here's this amazing thing that we can do and get interest, mm-hmm. and then roll out the HomePod Mini later.
Yeah, I have a feeling it was a strategy change.
Yeah.
That they had this amazing, like really well designed big home pod, and they had probably like this was this but like 100%, this wasn't the only product they had designed. There were probably already two or three iterations in the works, mm-hmm. and then they changed the strategy and said, okay, like maybe learning from the home pod, say, okay, like this is what the market wants. And we haven't seen that yet. It hasn't been that long. The home pod mini, how old is it? Like 2-3 years?
It's two. Not. Yeah, it's not 3 years old.
Yeah, so something like that.
2020, 2021.
Yeah, something like that. So like the strategy changes. Okay, like with what we've learned in like a bigger long-term, like 5-year, 10-year strategy, this is what we want to do. This HomePod doesn't fit that strategy anymore. And that's why they scrapped it. And we haven't seen that yet. As I said, it hasn't been enough time to see the strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, in that sense, yes, the HomePod product line is still pretty new.
Mm-hmm.
And so I suppose when the original HomePod was released, the HomePod Mini was well into its development phase.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't like that was a fast pivot to a different
product. They're like, last second, oh, we're going to make it smaller. No, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure this was the strategy all along, to have the smaller HomePod in the mix.
Mm-hmm. I agree. There's just no way that they could have created the HomePod Mini as quickly as they did with the feature set it has.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was part of the plan from the beginning.
Exactly. So as I said, we will have to give them another like couple of years to see how it plays out. It could be that like the HomePod Mini is it, and in like 2 or 3 years they like iterate on it just because eventually it's probably cheaper to have a new iteration with new innards, or they have some new plan, like something they want to put in.
Mm-hmm.
But like the HomePod Mini as it is mostly it. Like the changes are incremental, small changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally possible, but I have a feeling that the strategy is a little bit bigger and different than that.
Yeah.
Just like the Apple Watch. Like it didn't start out the way we are right now.
Yeah, well, with the Apple Watch, I think a big part of Apple's strategy was to watch and see how we use the device and then start building out from there. I really feel like a lot of Apple Watch was an experiment. And when they saw how people were using it, then they very quickly pivoted the way they present the product as a fitness device.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can definitely see that. I mean, the fitness was in the mix because they had it from day one,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't the feature.
Yep. So there you go. All right. Well, were you aware that this show and all the others is sponsored by TSO Hosts? I know, shocker, total shocker. It's pretty cool because without TSO Hosts, we wouldn't be able to be here streaming live shows. We wouldn't have a place for all the shows to live so that you can go and watch and listen at your leisure. And it would just be horrible. The world is a much better place because we're here. And because TSO Hosts helps us be here. So here's the deal. If you could take just a minute, you should go onto social media and give them a shout out and thank TSO Hosts for being here supporting the British Tech Network. Because when I say we wouldn't be here without them, that is absolutely true. The costs to do the live streaming and the hosting would just be crazy. So give them a shout out on social media. If it turns out that you need to buy some domains or get some hosting, hey, great. They're there for you because that's what they do. So you can use the discount code BTN20 when you buy your domains through them or do your hosting through them and get a nice little discount on that. So thank you, TSO Hosts, for being so generous by helping us out with our hosting and streaming. and for giving people a discount as well. That's pretty awesome. And we are also sponsored by iMend Max. And that's the place that you need to go when you have Apple gear that you need to get fixed, because they will do it right. They're the people that actually know what they're doing. And that's really important, because why would you want to take your Apple gear to a place where they don't even bother to really figure out what's wrong? They just throw a new logic board in and say, hey, look, I fixed it. That's not a fix. That's just throwing out potentially useful components and filling up landfills with junk. So don't do that. Go to iMend Max and have them fix your gear right, because they'll replace the components that are actually screwed up, as opposed to just throwing everything away. Also, they have an Instagram account, and I'm loving it because they have a lot of cool photos, but also because, and I know I've said this before just recently, but I'm like really excited about it. They have this whole gift thing going on, and they're making the coolest art, where they do the thing where they take an old Apple device and break it apart into its components and then mount all that stuff and frame it. So you can get like a physical blow apart of an iPhone or an Apple Watch or whatever, and hang it on your wall. And I think that's so cool. So if I were in a position where I could easily get a hold of one of their blow aparts of an iPhone or an Apple Watch, whatever, I would absolutely have that on the wall, because so cool. So there you go. A place to get your gear fixed, a place to go buy cool art. They will also sell you used Apple gear. They will do leases. They will help you recover your data, and they will just make you happy, which to me, that's worth a lot right there. And they'll give you a discount. If you let them know you're a BTN fan, they'll give you a 5% discount on everything. So that's pretty awesome too. So thank you to iMend Max for being our sponsor as well. Patrice, where can people find our chat room, please?
Well, as always, they can find the live chat room. If you're listening to this live, you can head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. And there you can like talk to the awesome people in the chat room, like Bob Beach, and I saw the third, whoever that is, I don't know, and some other lovely people in there, and also Muller Biker. Also fine.
I love the way you said that. That was actually funny.
No, I'm joking. Like he knows I'm joking. No, he's fine. He's always fun to talk to in the chat as well. And obviously all the links, like everything that Jeff posts up, like the stories, and I think Dave posted one about like what stories we talked about, all the cool things that we're about to talk about, there will be most likely, if it has a link, there will be a link to that. All of that you can find in our live chat room. As I said, chat.britishtechnetwork.com every week on Friday at, usually at 4 p.m. UK time. This week it was an hour later. So check there's a calendar on the website, check that. And for the big show, it's every Thursday at 7 p.m. UK time. But let's say you're listening to this after the fact. I mean, let's face it, this is a podcast. This is what it's about, like taking it with you, using your favorite podcast player of choice, whatever that is, and just listening to it whenever you have time. You can still get to all the like the chats, what people said, what we said, the links, all of that, all of the above. And in order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. I had to think about that for a second. My brain just
it's skipped hard,
for a second.
Right?
Yeah, it's like my brain just skipped for a second. I'm tired. britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Then there like is a little calendar, and you navigate to today's date, which is April 22nd, 2022. It's actually funny. 22422. Or 42222, depending on how you write it. April 22nd, 2022, and then you will find everything we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for having my back on that. And the fact that you had to sit there and kind of work to make that happen today is a testament to how difficult it actually is to talk about where to find the chat. So thank you.
No, it's actually really easy to talk about, but sometimes your brain just needs a second.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. All right. So Bob Beach says that we need to hurry up and get to the cool things because he has to leave soon. So it turns out it's time for the cool thing. Patrice, what do you have for us?
So I'm going to pick an email app. Not the most exciting categories of apps, but especially since there is basically only crap out there, like my opinion. I've tried them all. I've almost tried them all, I think. And none of them I liked. And that might just be my personal preference, but I have, because I live in email, I have pretty high standards. And SparkMail was a very good solution.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some things that still bothered me. It just kind of, something wasn't working right and it behaved weirdly sometimes and stuff like that. So I was looking for a different solution. I tried AirMail for a little while, didn't work. Apple Mail, don't get me started on Apple Mail. So long story short, I found kind of by accident, I don't even know how I discovered that one, Edison Mail. And Edison Mail, I really like. One, it is actually a native app. At least it feels like a native app. If it's not, then they're so good that I don't even notice. And I'm usually pretty good at point. I can think at seeing that it's like a whatever, a web wrapper or something. It feels like a native app. It behaves exactly how you want it to. It doesn't have all the crazy features, but it has really good, really nice features. It is free. They do have, and that's something I found a little bit weird, but whatever. On iOS, they have actually an in-app purchase that you can buy with some extra like filtering stuff that, I mean, you don't really need, but if you want that, you can have it. For some reason, doesn't exist on a Mac. I don't know if it's about not being in a Mac app store or something. Could be. But it's like, you don't really need that. But the app is free and it supports like all the major like email services that you would want, like Exchange and Office 365 and Google Mail and IMAP and all of that. And it just works. It's reliable. It works. It doesn't crash. It's like the services, like the support is responsive, all of the things you would need. It looks good. Also important, it has good shortcuts. Like it has enough configuration options that you can adapt it to your needs. It's not completely Spartan. It's not completely overwhelming. It's, I think, the right amount of customization. Yeah, it's just a really, really good app. And as I said, it's on Mac, on iOS, on iPad.
Huh. Everywhere. All right, I'm going to give it a shot.
Give it a try. I said, I've tried them all, and all of them I've hated.
I mean,
this is actually the first one I'm kind of liking. Let's see. Like, I mean, I really liked Spark for a long time, and like over time, I soured on it. So,
I mean,
we'll see. But I've been using this, like, I on purpose kept this cool thing for a while because I wanted to see how it goes. And then I've used it for like 6 months.
Yeah, I like Spark, but there were limitations that ultimately became showstoppers for me.
Yes.
And I'm always on the hunt for something that's not mail. Yes, I'm using mail today because it's the only thing that has all the stuff, even though it's still such, it's mail. But the plugins that I'm using, and just all the stuff. Yeah. The only place I can get all of it is in mail. And that's so frustrating. So I'll give Edison Mail a shot and see if it does everything I need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's said it might not be for everybody. I'm not sure they have plugins. I have not missed any plugins. Like because I've switched much.
If it does what I need without adding plugins, great.
Even better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's like, I said, with Spark, I ran into the same limitations, like especially that I sometimes wanted to see the raw like email.
Yeah.
Because I can read them and I can see some like some to debug some issues with email servers and whatever. And Spark does not support that at all.
Yeah, that was a problem for me. Yep.
Yeah. So edisonmail.com. Link all right. in the chat.
I'm going to give it a shot. Dave, what do you have today?
Well, I just found out about this while you were on MacGeekGab earlier today. This is a VPN software called Tailscale.
Holy crap, isn't that cool?
Yeah, it was so cool. And it's free, which I can't believe, for personal use. Covers one user, 20 devices. You get one subnet router, and then it's got secure peer-to-peer connections. It's SSO and MFA. It's based on the WireGuard technology, which is, from my understanding, is a really good encryption. And we did hear some stories like I've been using Surfshark, and then they had said Surfshark had a bit of a security flaw with the certificate, which kind of scared me a little bit because we're using VPN here. Is it really truly secure here? But I think this is a great VPN to check out, and it's on every platform you can think of. iOS and Mac, even on Windows, Linux. So they do offer it. The app is in the App Store for the Mac and iOS. So check it out. I think it's something to really consider for secure connections through VPN.
It's very cool.
Nice.
And my pick. By the way, when they started talking, Dave started talking about Tailscale, and we're looking at the features, I actually got excited enough that the hair on my arm stood up. I'm not kidding. All right. So my pick today is a website. And this is a website that I discovered last night. And the website is called Find Starlink. So you put in a location and it'll tell you when you can see Starlink satellites overhead. Here's the story behind this. Last night when I was out walking, it was 8:30 at night, 9 o'clock at night, something like that. And I come up over this little hill on the road I'm on, and way off to the west, there's this weird line in the sky, and it's moving towards me, and it's changing angle and stuff. And it keeps getting closer and closer. And then it looks like a UFO that has a bunch of windows down the side of the ship, and it kind of turns and goes off and then disappears. And I'm like, what the hell?
The UFOs are coming for you, Jeff.
Right. Yes. And
I'm in Colorado. So.
Totally, totally plausible. And I'm trying to figure out what is this that I was just seeing. The most plausible answer to me seemed to be a group of Starlink satellites. I'd never actually seen Starlink satellites go overhead before, so I didn't know exactly what to expect, but I thought that might be it. But the angle changing and the way they were moving, it was like, maybe this is something different, but it seemed the most plausible thing. So I end up doing a Google search and find this website, and I type in the location, and it shows the 5-minute window where you'd be able to see a group of brand new satellites that had launched yesterday morning. And so they weren't in their final position yet. And it turns out that's exactly when I was seeing this little string of lights. So it turns out, yes, my assumption that it was Starlink was correct. And the angle changing, it's because the satellites, the string, it was the angle that they were at in relation to my position. And the direction they were traveling, they were coming from the north and heading sort of towards the west. So it was kind of a northwest path. And because everything that we live on a globe, it looked like they came through the sky and then turned and went a different direction, which they didn't. And Mueller's saying they're so bright you can see them with binoculars. Dude, they're so bright you don't need binoculars. You can just see them in the sky, at least where I am. But yeah, if you have binoculars, then it's even easier to pick them out. So anyhow, find starlink.com and you can see when you'll be able to find the little string of lights going across the sky. All right. And I think we managed to get through our cool things before Bob Beach had to leave.
Yay!
Yeah. All right. So Patrice and Dave, thank you for being so awesome and being here. Patrice, where can people find you?
Don't get caught. I don't know. Jeff was just pointing to his shirt. I was like, okay. Squirrel. You can find me every week here, almost every week here on the Mac Show every Friday, except for next week, because I'm traveling. Also on the Big Show every Thursday, all here on BTN. You can find everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the projects, the podcasts, the, like, if you want to buy me a coffee for the things I'm doing, because I'm doing almost everything for free. You can find all of that on thepatrice.com. There's only one, right? And if you want to listen to really interesting people talk about food and food-related stories and memories, I have an interview show called Foodie Flashback, where I interview those people. Foodieflashback.com.
And it's a cool show.
It's a cool show.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. As by the time you hear this, we'll have the 200th episode published, and should be a good stuff to hear there. And you can also find me on a YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/DaveG65. I'm here on the Mac Show on Fridays and Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And you also can find me on Twitter at DaveG65. Thanks, Jeff.
And thanks to you. Okay, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut on both. YouTube.com/JayGamut for my videos. And let's see, Tuesday evenings, most of them on Mac Voices Live. And then Thursday for me, lunchtime-ish, on The Big Show. And then here Friday mornings for me on the Mac Show, and most Thursday evenings now on In Touch with iOS. Dave, congratulations on 200 episodes. That is so cool. And let's see. Oh, Brian Chaffin and I have teamed up. We are doing The Context Machine, and our latest episode is out now. And in that one, we talk about the differences. We do a smackdown between the iPad mini and a Kindle ebook reader as ebook reading devices. So that was a fun discussion. I get around. Oh, I just did the Mac Geek Gab. That's why we did the show late today. So the recording will be out soon, I guess on Monday. When it goes live. So it was tips, tricks, and cool things for the whole episode. And it was a lot of fun. So you can check that out on Monday. All right. I guess that's enough stuff that I'm doing for right now. Patrice and Dave, thank you. You are awesome. And everyone that's here with us live and also in the chat room, thank you as well. You are all awesome. And I'm so glad all of you are here spending part of your Friday with us. And for everyone that tunes in and watches later, thanks for being part of this as well. You are great too. And shout out to TSO Hosts and IMN Max for being our sponsors. Give TSO Hosts a shout out on social media and thank them. And when you go into IMN Max, be sure and mention that you are a BTN fan, so they give you a little discount. And as long as everyone is consenting and it is safe to do so, give Callum a hug for me. And let's see. I think that's all the stuff. So thank you, everyone. Don't forget to tune in next week for the Big Show on Thursday and then Friday for the Mac Show. And have an awesome weekend. We'll see you next week.